Good morning, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call Senate Finance Committee to order. 5 minutes after 9 a.m. Friday, February 24th, 2011. With me today is Senator Ellis, Senator Thomas, and Senator Egan, and myself, Stedman. As long as we keep the cold at bay, we'll keep moving along here. We'll see how it goes. We have three bills on the agenda this morning. Senate Bill 27, Flame Retardants and Toxic Chemicals. Senate Bill 136, Income Tax Credit for Employing a Veteran. Senate Bill 68, Commercial Fishing Agricultural Bank. And then on the Senate Bill 144, State Immunization Program. We removed it from the agenda. We were waiting for the fiscal note, and apparently it did come in, but just like 2 minutes before the meeting, and we haven't had time to review it. So we'll bring that bill back next week if we have time to look over the documents. With that, we're going to go ahead and start with Senate Bill 27 by Senator Wilikowski regarding flame retardants and toxic chemicals. This is the second hearing on this bill. We first heard it the April 8th of 2011. The intent today is to bring the bill back for further review and look to the will of the committee. And with us today is Senator Wilikowski. If you could, it's been a while, Senator, since we've had the bill in front of us. So if you could explain to the committee again what this bill is and the public at home, then we'll look to the committee for additional questions.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Bill Wilikowski. I'm a state senator representing Northeast Anchorage, Mountain View, Muldoon, and Russian Jack. And this bill would ban PBDEs, which are toxic flame retardants, from being manufactured, distributed, or sold in the state of Alaska. The negative health effects of these chemicals are well documented, and the impact on children disproportionately higher. Alaskans who are particularly vulnerable to PBDEs for three reasons. First, Alaskans tend to spend more time indoors, which increases exposure to the ingestion of microscopic particles of PBDEs found in household dust. Essentially, PBDEs are in many of the substances that we deal with on a daily basis. Rugs, furniture, mattresses, electronics. When they flake, they create dust, and dust gets in the air. People breathe them in, and that's how it can cause harm. Second, Alaskans eat a greater quantity of subsistence foods that have been found to have high concentrations of these bioaccumulating chemicals. And third, toxins such as PBDEs are carried in the atmosphere through a process known as global distillation from points of manufacture and tend to concentrate in cold climates. So there were a couple concerns that were addressed at the last hearing, Mr. Chairman, and I'll very briefly address those. The first would be concern about whether this will impact fire safety. And the answer to that is absolutely not. This does not exempt products from meeting existing fire safety standards. There is no trade-off whatsoever where we should be forced to decide between the lesser of two evils. This bill keeps our children safe from both fire and from toxic chemicals. The other concern that's been brought up is that this may increase the cost. And I would just like to point out that this sort of legislation, this sort of ban has been adopted throughout the European Union. It's been adopted in Illinois. It's been adopted in Washington. In fact, there's a letter in your file from the representative in Illinois where this was adopted, Elaine Nekritz, and she's represented there. And she said they, in Illinois, their Environmental Protection Agency conducted a very comprehensive study to determine whether there were cost issues involved, and they found there were not. There were no affordability issues whatsoever. And the reason for that is because there are large markets that have exempted, that have banned PBDEs. I'd also like to point out that there are many companies that do not sell PBDEs. For instance, Walmart, just this past summer, they adopted enhancing testing on all products to ensure no PBDEs are sold in Walmart. I have not heard anything from my constituents about increased prices in consumer goods. I anticipate that other retailers will conform to this legislation without a hitch. The simple truth is that these chemicals are largely being manufactured abroad, so we're protecting American jobs and our children's health from foreign companies that sell these products with toxic chemicals. I'll conclude with that, Mr. Chairman. This has widespread support from a number of different health officials. AFN adopted a resolution supporting it. People all across the state are very concerned about this. I do have my staffer online if there are technical questions. He was unable to be here today. And with that, I'll end. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Do we have any initial questions from the committee members? We've got three fiscal notes in your packet, 2-0 fiscal notes from the Department of Health and Social Services and the Department of Public Safety, one note from the Department of Environmental Conservation for $139,000 in general funds for one new full-time environmental program specialist. We've previously had public testimony, so public testimony is closed. We'll come back to the committee. We have any final questions? Senator Ellis, will of the committee?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move and ask that, I would move that the bill pass from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes. And
we have a motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move the bill from committee to the next committee referral. Next up, Senate Bill 136 by Senator Wilkowski regarding income tax credits for employing a veteran. This is the second hearing on this bill. We heard it for the first time the 6th of February. The intent today is to adopt a committee substitute, entertain any additional questions, and look to the will of the committee. And we have a motion to adopt version R, Senator Ellis.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee adopt version R.
And I'll object for explanation and ask Mr. Peterson from my staff, Finance Committee staff, to come forward. Explain the CS.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Darwin Peterson, staff to the Senate Finance Committee. The CS version R incorporates four changes that we discussed with the sponsor of this legislation after the first hearing. The first change is found on page 1, line 9. This new subsection B has been rewritten so that in order for the tax credit to apply, a veteran must be unemployed for at least 4 weeks and have been released from military service not more than 2 years before the date of employment. On page 1, line 13, that subsection now requires that for a disabled veteran, the tax credit is applicable for up to 10 years after release from military service. Page 2, line 7, previous bill was a $2,000 tax credit for all veterans. This now has increased. We increased the amount of the tax credit to $3,000 for a disabled veteran, and it's still $2,000 for other veterans. On page 2, line 9, the last change, Mr. Chairman, is we added a $1,000 tax credit for seasonal employment. Veterans must be employed at least 600 hours or more for 5 consecutive months. And that concludes all the changes, Mr. Chairman.
Do we have any questions on the changes in the CS? Seeing none, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of the CS. Do we have any further objection to the adoption of the CS? Seeing none, version R is our working document. If we could have the bill sponsor come forward, please. Senator Wilkowski, do you want to briefly explain the bill to the committee again, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, again, my name is Bill Wilkowski. I'm State Senator for Northeast Anchorage, excuse me, and with me is Kendra Kloster from my office. And I do think the changes make this a better bill, Mr. Chairman, and I want to thank the committee and you, Mr. Chairman, for working with us on this. This bill was designed to try to assist veterans with the unemployment problem. One of the concerns that we've heard in Fairbanks at a Veterans Summit in Anchorage at a Veterans Town Hall meeting was the issue of unemployment for veterans. They do have a higher unemployment rate in the state and nationally as well. And so what this bill does is provide a veterans tax credit, and I think your staff explained very well what the bill does. The first section, it just simply lays out that you can have a veterans employment tax credit. If you've been employed for not more than, if you are a veteran and you are disabled, you get the tax credit if you've been out of service for 10 years or less. If you're not disabled, it's a tax credit if you've been out of service for 2 years or less. And the rationale behind this is what we've been finding is it is harder for veterans to get jobs right when they're out of service. That's the critical time frame. Within typically the few years that they're out of service. And so that's what we're addressing with those time frames there, Mr. Chairman. Section C on page 2, lines 5 through 8, set the amounts. It's got to be full-time employment 12 consecutive months, 1,560 hours. It's the tax credit is $3,000 for a disabled vet and $2,000 for a veteran who's not disabled. Senator Thomas brought forth an excellent suggestion to help those who work seasonal jobs, and we incorporated that in page 2, lines 9 through 13. If you're a seasonal vet, you can get a $1,000 tax exemption. And that's the essence of the bill, Mr. Chairman. I'm happy to answer questions.
Do we have any questions from the committee? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Wilikowski, I know you're in favor of the increase in the amount that's there from from 2,000 to 3,000. How did you come up with the number 2,000 to start off with?
We looked at what other states and what the federal government had done. The federal government had set a similar amount for veterans. I think theirs may be 2,400. So we looked at that amount. We looked at what other states did, and we thought that was a fair number. For disabled vets, Senator Stedman had the idea to increase the number, and so we thought that was an excellent idea to try to encourage companies to hire disabled vets.
Last question, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
And you talked about the other states that were there. How does this compare? Are we in the middle of the pack, top of the pack, realizing that we have got a large number of veterans within this state? I'm assuming many of which are unemployed, and you're certainly applaud your efforts to try and help them.
Thank you, Senator Olson, through the chairman. It's a great question. We asked legislative research to give us an analysis on what state and federal tax credits are available to veterans. I believe it's in your report. It's in your file. And if you look, you'll find, for instance, Vermont has a $2,000 tax incentive. But that one applies to hiring veterans who've returned from deployment from Afghanistan and Iraq within the last 2 years. California has a tax credit similar to ours. It's got to be left service within 48 months. Illinois has a tax credit not to exceed $1,200 annually. West Virginia has a tax credit available to an employer of the first $5,000 in wages.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Any other questions, Senator Thomas?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a comment. I want to thank the maker of the bill for the inclusion of the seasonal employment, because in Alaska we have a lot of seasonal work. So thanks again for that.
Seeing no further questions from the committee, we've got one indeterminate fiscal note from the Department of Revenue. We previously had public testimony on this bill. I see we have a representative from the administration here. Is any comments from the administration?
Okay.
With that, I'll go ahead and look to the will of the committee. Senator Ellis.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the bill be reported from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes, which is, I can't remember if I mentioned that, was one indeterminate fiscal note from the Department of Revenue. Do we have objection moving the bill from committee? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move the bill from committee to the next committee referral. Let the record reflect that Senator McGuire has joined us, and also Senator Giesel's been in the room since the beginning of the meeting this morning. We have one final piece of legislation up today. Senate Bill 68 by Senator Coghill regarding commercial fishing and agricultural tank. This is the second hearing on this bill. We first heard it the 20th of January. The intent today is to bring the bill back for further review and look to the will of the committee. And we have representation from Senator Coghill's staff. If they could introduce themselves and then explain the bill briefly again to the committee, as it's been a few days and there might be people watching at home that didn't see the initial presentation of this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Renee Lamas with Senator Coghill's office. Senator Coghill sends his apologies for not being able to attend himself, but he is a member of the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics, and they are meeting all day yesterday and most of today. So I'm going to introduce Jordan Schilling, who is our UAF intern. He is carrying this piece of legislation, and he will address the committee.
Well, welcome to Senate Finance, and if you can introduce yourself for the record. And
thank you, committee members. My name is Jordan Schilling, and I'm an intern for Senator Coghill.
Thank you again for hearing this bill. I know there were some questions that the committee had last time, and hopefully we were able to address those to your satisfaction. When CFAB was established in 1980, they received seed money from the state, and it was a loan to be paid back to the general fund with interest. And as a result of that loan, certain restrictions were placed on the banks, such as specific board member requirements, limits on loans, limits on eligibility for loans, and the ability to lobby. And although CFAB repaid the seed money, the statutes restricting their operations remain in effect. SB 68 lifts the restrictions and allows CFAB to compete in the loan market in the same capacity as other private lending institutions. And again, thank you for hearing this bill. Reneva and I are here to answer any questions.
And do we have any questions on that? We've got one fiscal note from the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. It reflects a cost of $5,800 in travel for Banking and Security Division to conduct the examination every 3 years. It also reflects an increase in revenue every 3 years in the amount of $22,000 for the reimbursement of the examination costs of the Commercial Fishing and Agricultural Bank, and we previously had a public testimony concerning this bill. We have any questions, Senator Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Moss, I was wondering, or Mr. Schilling, if there, as you look at other lending institutions, whether they had weighed in on whether they're for or against this bill.
Through the chair, Senator Olson, yes, Lee Klingit, who is the CEO for CFAB, has been in communications with all the major lenders in the state, and they so far have had no objections.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just trying to clear it. It's not just banks that he's been in contact with. It's been other lending institutions as well.
Through the chair, Senator Olson, that's my understanding, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Seeing no further questions, Senator Ellis.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Senate Bill 68 be reported from the Senate Finance Committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. Do we have objection? Seeing no objection, we'll go ahead and move the bill from committee to the next committee referral. That concludes today's meeting. Our next meeting will be Monday, February 27th. We have one bill on the agenda, Senate Bill 170, Vocational Ed, Counseling and Schools, and followed by an overview of the energy project. So we're going to start next week, rather than the week after Energy Council, reviewing some of the major capital projects and energy projects, port projects, and next week I think go down into some of the agency issues so we can start to clear our calendar so we'll be prepared after the energy break to have a clearer calendar to deal with the oil legislation that most likely will be here after energy, and if it is not, we'll continue on with the capital budget stuff and integrate it in when we get it. We'll also start next week, tentatively anyway, at the end of the week with some preliminary overview hearings with PFC Energy. Some of the background stuff that we really don't need to, it won't be legislative specific, it'll be just concept specific on how Alaska fits in globally in the petroleum marketplace, and then how our basin fits in to the individual major three corporations in the state that handle our oil resources, BP, Conoco, and ExxonMobil. So we'll start that ball rolling next week, so we'll have a fairly busy schedule next week, so stand by, and then when we get back from Energy Council, we'll be integrating most likely the oil discussion along with the capital discussion, so we'll probably be running both mornings and afternoon the way it looks. We are adjourned.